This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Provoked, was delivered on April 11th, 2021. Here now is Pastor Scott.
You got the color right today. Great. Good morning, New Hope. Can you hear me? I'm good? Yeah? Whew. Every Sunday it comes frequently, yeah, about once a week, yeah, on a regular basis. I love Sundays, Saturday nights. After still 13 years, I still kind of like a nervous wreck, sleeping, waking up, thinking, "Oh, it's Sunday, I gotta preach," and it's still like that. I still get like butterflies. I don't know if it ever will go away. Hopefully not, because every Sunday morning I pop up early in the bed and I say, "Oh my gosh, it's Sunday." Whew. Then I immediately ask the Holy Spirit, "Man, I need you to help me deliver this message, because on my own probably wouldn't come out right." I started going to church like late 1999, and as I started to go to church, because my life was just a mess, and as I heard the preacher, and I realized that this God thing started making so much sense, and I became hungry to learn about God. And during the first few years of attending church, I decided to go to Bible studies, and I thought, man, this would be a really good thing to take this message to some of my people in my neighborhood who were elderly and who couldn't go to church on a weekly basis as they used to. So something was stirring in me. And by 2002, I started to get some people together at my friend's home and started sharing what I've learned in these Bible studies and what we did on Sunday. And at these home groups, we sat, we prayed, we read the Bible together, we look at how sermons could be applied in our lives, and of course, we also ate good food. What's a Bible study without food? What's a Bible study without food? I don't know if anybody's going to show up, because we get them to come for the food, and we feed them the spiritual food. Then they get fed, and it's like, wow. Then after a while, they come for the spiritual food, and the physical food is just secondary. When we had this small group, at times there were like 50 people who would show up, and we're like, where would we put these 50 people? At times there was just five. I remember some days when we used to do it on a Friday night, sometimes we had like 30 children in one of my bedrooms in my house. Yeah, it's a good thing we had a good foundation under the house. So, all because something was stirring in me, we started this. And then in 2008, this small group turned into New Hope East Hawaii. Yeah, and we couldn't use New Hope KL because that name was already taken. So I figured, oh, let's go East Hawaii. That way we can go anywhere on the east side of the island. Yeah. Because if the bylaws state that you have to have like the city. So our legal name is Keau East Foursquare Church, because we're a little bit more to the east of the other Keau church that was over there. So, we have been here 13 years because something stirred in me, and I really believe as the Holy Spirit moving me to do something. And to tell you the truth, many people say, oh, that Scott was the one who started this church. And you may be right in some way, but I believe it was all God. Because if it was all Scott, well, I don't think we would survive a month. That Holy Spirit that kind of stirred things up in me, that provoked me into doing something, is the same Holy Spirit that is in you. How's that? It's pretty cool, yeah? The same Holy Spirit that we read about in Acts chapter 2. We'll go back a chapter in Acts 1:8. This is Jesus speaking. Well, how come the thing don't stay in red? It's Jesus speaking. I'm just kidding. Ooh, I'm going to get licked in front of the PowerPoint person. But, follow along with me. But you, who is you? Me. You. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. The power that believers, that you and I receive from the Holy Spirit includes courage, boldness, confidence, insight, ability, authority. Before I knew about this power, I was not courageous. I was not bold. I was not confident. You know, when an opportunity is there to share Jesus with somebody, I'd chicken out because I wasn't courageous. I wasn't bold. I wasn't confident. I mean, you could have probably seen feathers growing on me. You know that chicken dance? Yeah, I was a chicken. I did not have any courage. I did not have any boldness. I did not have any confidence. It took me a while. And when you read the Bible and you understand that you have it, it's in you. And I think the only way that I got it to come out was I had to act on it and activate it and step out in faith. So it's like, it was really kind of spooky, you know, because I would get calls to go to the hospital a lot. And people were dying and they wanted somebody to come and pray. And it was like, oh. And the opportunity presented itself. And it's like, oh, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And I remember the first time I had to go and somebody was dying and I didn't know how to tell them about Jesus. So, I mean, talk about rough and raw, and the only way I did it was, do you know Jesus? Right? I mean, what else am I going to say? That's all. Do you know Jesus? No. Would you like to know Jesus? Yeah, how do I know Jesus? So then we're like, wow, this stuff works. You ever tried it? I mean, that's simple and straightforward. Do you know Jesus? Well, I might know of him, but I really don't know him. Would you like to know Jesus? That's my first two questions. And I've been used to doing that already, and I just go and I do that. And I pray. And the more and more I did it, I realized the more courageous I came, the more bold I came, the more confidence I had. And yes, sometimes they will tell you no. And it's okay. Because I cannot force them to know Jesus, right? If I forced you to know Jesus, if we locked the gates all up and said, no, we're not going to go until each of you know Jesus in an intimate way, that wouldn't work. So I believe as I exercised my authority, the Holy Spirit became more real in my life, and I became bolder, and I realized that the power that I had from the Holy Spirit. Now, if you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that same Spirit lives in you, and you can tap into the power and the boldness that God provides for his followers. because it is there for us. The Bible calls him the helper, the comforter, so much more. And the more I tapped into that power, the more I realized that I had it. And it was pretty cool just to go to the hospital and say, hey, do you know Jesus? Because some of you call me and say, can you go to the hospital and pray for my loved one? They are dying. And I think, like, wow, that's a pretty heavy responsibility. And I take that seriously. And I go and I ask them, do you know Jesus? Would you like to know Jesus? And when they say yes and they pray and they accept Jesus, I can report back to the person who sent me and say, hey, so-and-so accepted Jesus. And you look at their face and it's like, oh, thank you so much. Because if they died without knowing Jesus, that would be just an awful thing. And I don't want that to happen on my watch. If somebody sent me to the hospital to pray for your loved ones, and I just say, hey, how do you like that Dodgers game yesterday? And Mike would say, no way, it was terrible. Because he's a Giants fan, and I respect that. Because I love Mike.
Did they win?
Yes, they did.
It was terrible.
Yeah, see? But we were watching the Dodgers play the Nationals yesterday, and I told my wife, we went to that game. We went to that game years, like 5 years ago. We went to that game, the Dodgers and the Nationals, and the Dodgers lost. So Mike would say that was a good game. And I got the baseball that Anthony Rendon hit, and it was a ground rule double, and they threw it back because it went out of the park, right? You know how when the opponents, and well, anyway, I got the ball. Yeah, my first ball, and I don't know, was fantastic. But that Holy Spirit lives in you to give you the boldness, the confidence to go and share God's word. So if you sent me to the hospital and I just talk sports and talk fishing and not get them saved and then they die, that would be pretty sad. So I take care of business first. Jesus Christ first. Then we can talk other stuff. Because later on, we'll see them in heaven and we can talk all kinds of stuff later on. But here's the thing. Yeah, you and I, we need to be sensitive to the Spirit's prompting. Okay? We need to be aware of it. We need to kind of know that he's telling us to do something. Understand this. The Holy Spirit is not going to prompt you to do something contradicting God's word. You know, we were watching Right Now Media yesterday, and we were watching a series by Pastor Kyle Eidelman titled Not a Fan. And there was this guy who, Eric, he died, and his dad was just quoting scriptures to him left and right, and using the scripture to condemn people. And it's like, whoa, that is not the Holy Spirit. It's more like the heart of a Pharisee or something. But it was like, I was watching it, man, this guy knows the scripture really well. Too bad he's using it in the wrong way. The Holy Spirit would not do that, would not tell you to use scriptures to condemn people, but to build them up. In Acts 17:16, we read, now, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing a city full of idols. So Paul was here. He found himself in Athens. He was waiting for Silas and Timothy. They were in Berea. And so we think, like, why was Paul separated from his ministry partners? Why was Paul in Athens and Silas and Timothy was in Berea. Well, first, Paul was, he would go back a few verses. Paul was in Thessalonica. He was, which was a really good, wealthy city, and a lot of prominent people, important people were coming to know Christ. But as always, the Jewish, the religious leaders, they got jealous. And a mob formed, and Paul left. He went to Berea, and he began to proclaim Jesus there. Well, those same religious leaders from Thessalonica found out what Paul was doing, so they showed up in Berea and made trouble for him again. So he left, and now he was in Athens waiting for Silas and Timothy. So Berea was like 45 miles west of Thessalonica. So these Jewish leaders, they either walked or they rode donkeys 45 miles to make trouble. How many of you go out of your way to make trouble? Nobody. Wow, you guys are all good, yeah? How many of you used to go 45 miles to make trouble? 45 miles away, shoot your gun so nobody can hear. Make trouble. Shoot stuff. Yeah. And so Paul was left, and that's how he ended up in Athens. Well, Rome was the political and entertainment capital of the Roman Empire. Athens, now, was the intellectual and cultural capital of the Roman Empire, which had adopted a Greek culture and language. Athens was kind of culturally advanced, socially sophisticated, and aesthetically, it was a beautiful city, one of the major cities. So they said Paul was in there, and Paul waited, number one, he waited. Some of you may be waiting. There will be periods of waiting in your life, but it doesn't mean you do nothing. While Paul waited, he wasn't idle. You know, if you are waiting on God, maybe you're waiting for a spouse, maybe you're waiting for a job, a house, maybe you're waiting for something. Maybe you just like, okay, God, I want this. I really like this. And I'm waiting and I'm praying. While you're waiting, always have something productive to do. How many of you, when you go to the doctor and you have to wait? All of you who are not raising your hands, you guys go to Dr. Cora Howard, yeah? Because you don't wait there. Yeah. When you go to the doctor, do you bring a book? Or you just like on Facebook looking at useless things? Or Amazon shopping, spending more money while you're waiting? Have something useful to do, something productive. Have your Bible, give some letters to write. You know, while Paul was waiting around in Athens, he was walking around the city. He was looking at all these idols. And it was written in history that there were about 30,000 idols in public places, plus what people had in their homes. And ancient proverb declared that there were more idols in Athens than men. And wherever Paul looked, on pedestals, temples, on street corners, idols and statues. In Acts 17:60, we find that Paul was waiting in Athens for Silas and Timothy, maybe because he needed help to minister to all these pagan people. Man, if you went into a town with idol worshippers, what would you do? Would you like be bold? Or would you like blend in and conform? Oh, tough question. What would you do? So maybe he was waiting. You know, well, the Bible says that Timothy's father was Greek. So maybe he was waiting for Timothy to come to help him with the Greek culture. And I think, you know, maybe so. Maybe he needed that. So Athens was a large city of modern Greece. And it was it was one of the oldest cities, and Athens was known for many things. And one of the things Athens was known for was this giant temple dedicated to the Greek god Zeus. Now, I say god with a small g. The temple of Zeus was really, really large. How many of you live in Paradise Park? Yeah. So you think about it. The temple was 315 feet long and 131 feet wide. The lot in Paradise Park is like 322 by 135. So you can imagine a temple, the size of your lot, corner to corner, almost that big. Yeah, with a huge statue of Zeus on his throne. Some people say that's one of the wonders of the world. So Paul kind of had like, man, how do I get these guys to even think about Jesus when they got this huge temple of this Greek god that they worship? So while Paul waited, he was like going around to the city, probably planning his method of attack and how he's going to present things to the people. And number two, he said his spirit was provoked, was stimulated. In Acts 17:21, so he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles. So there was something there. And in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. So he was basically talking to anybody who would listen. And also some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers were conversing with him. Some were saying, what would this idle babbler wish to say? So that's what they considered him, an idle babbler. How many of you think that's what I am? Yeah. Be honest. I got one honest guy over there. Thank you for being honest. What would this idle babbler wish to say? Others, he seems to be a proclaimer of strange deities because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching which you are proclaiming. So they were curious. I think that's a good thing. They were curious. For you are bringing some strange things to our ears, so we want to know what these things mean. For now all the Athenians and the strangers visiting there used to spend their time at nothing other than telling or hearing of something new. So this kind of fit in, because he was proclaiming something new. So it's like, we want to hear this new thing. And it's pretty cool because now he gets to share. Now Paul's spirit, while waiting for them in Athens for his traveling companions, was stirred when he has noticed this city has given itself totally to the worship of pagan gods. I guess he felt, man, these guys, they're worshiping stuff made out of cement and silver, and these things are not going to get them into heaven. So I guess part of his cause might have been, I gotta do my best to save these guys. So part of it could have been compassion. Because if he didn't have compassion, he didn't have love, he would say, well, let them go to hell. But he didn't say that. So he begins to preach about Jesus in the synagogue, the marketplace, just about to everyone who would listen. And soon he is heard by some philosopher known as the Epicureans and the Stoics. Now, the Epicureans believe that the purpose of life is to eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds like BC days, right? Meaning to seek the indulgence and pleasures of life whenever possible. And the Stoics, on the other hand, they believe depriving themselves and pursuing some sort of harmony with all that exists. Now, after these two groups in Athens dispute over Paul's message, they take him to the Areopagus, or Mars Hill, as the Romans call it, to further explain what he teaches. Oh, that's so exciting. When somebody asks me, I want to know about Jesus, oh, I get so excited. it's like more exciting than catching one fish. Right, James? You sure? Okay. Now, Paul found these philosophers at Athens, and among these he addressed in the Agora. That was a place where they met. And this was a common meeting place. So they brought him to this place, and they met with him so he could explain things to them because his spirit was stirred. Now, I share this because I want to ask you two things from this passage. What are you doing while you are waiting on God? What are you doing? Are you like watching the TV? Or are you twiddling your thumbs? Are you like just maybe you're waiting for a spouse, a child? Maybe you're desperately waiting for school to reopen. How many of you waiting for school to reopen? Take these kids out of my house. Maybe you're waiting for the pandemic to be over. How many of you just really want to travel again? Yes. What are you doing while you're waiting for these things? Maybe you're waiting for a job. Maybe you're waiting for a loan, waiting to build your house. What are you doing to get prepared? Because I don't want you wait idly while you're waiting for God to do something. Maybe God is waiting on you to get ready so that he can move. How's that? So it's not you, it's God is waiting for you and you're waiting on him, but God's waiting for you to get ready. What are you doing to prepare as if it's coming? Even if you can't see it, I think we need to get ready for it. The second question, what is the Holy Spirit provoking you to do? What is the Holy Spirit saying? He's stirring something in you. He's stirring something in you. Maybe it's like he's saying, man, I can sing way better than Pastor Scott. And that's like 99.9% of you. What is he stirring up in you? If it's to sing, see Pastor Aaron. If it's to cook, see Scott or James or one of us. If you look that way, you see how crooked we're parked. Yeah? Yeah? It's like, my gosh, what is this, the Walmart parking lot? Is the spirit stirring you to, yeah, I gotta go direct traffic so I can have the cars parked so we can prepare for when we reopen, we can fit 100 cars in here. Because if we park it right, we probably could. Is the spirit stirring you to take temperatures? Is the spirit stirring you to teach our children? Because man, look, we got our youth in here today. They're all in the back, like 100 of them out there. If I always say, if the devil can get our Sunday school teachers, he can get the generation. What is the Spirit stirring you to do? And if you don't know, if you're not sure, let's have a conversation. We have many openings. We have so many openings that we'd like to fill. Sound, PowerPoint, we're not getting rid of you. Cooking, barista. We got so many Sunday school teachers. You know, Paul got stirred up about these idols. And he did something about it. He proclaimed Jesus to the people, which probably wasn't an easy thing to do in a place filled with so many idols. What can we at New Hope East Hawaii help you with that the Spirit might be stirring, provoking, stimulating you to do? Now, I'll end with this. If the Spirit stirs you to do something and you ignore it, and you ignore it, and you keep ignoring it, even if you're tossing and turning in the middle of the night, the Spirit stirring you to do something, if you keep ignoring it, pretty soon you become dull to it. Maybe they call that quenching the Spirit. And pretty soon he's going to stir, but you're going to be like, that's just a mosquito. Is he stirring you to do something? Because every time I ask Jesus, we need help for this, we need help for that, you know what his answer is to me? They're in your church. You just got to look for them. And I'm looking. Yeah, I see them out there. I see the Sunday school teachers. I see the hula dancers. I see the cooks. I see all of them right here. Everything we have is right here. But maybe you don't have the boldness, the courage, the faith. Don't worry. We're here. We're not going to throw you to the wolves. Do we look like that? Come on. I'm not intimidating. We're going to help you. I don't want to sing. No. I know it's fearful to sing because everybody's looking, but don't worry. They're looking at the words. They're not looking at you. Yeah? That's a good thing. So, there's the thing. And I'd end with that. If the Spirit is stirring you to do something, then do it. Because I learned this about serving God. It's a wonderful thing. And God did not call me to be comfortable. Yeah? You look at the disciples. Man, they were in tough situations. I don't know if they were ever comfortable. Even when they were on their boat in their comfort zone because they were fishermen, still got rough. Storm still came. So, whatever, if you need, then write it on that tear-off tab. How many of you have a bulletin? See that tab? And if you used yours up, then go get another one. And tell them, God is stirring me to do that. And then, please, if you do that, put your name on it because, man, I got to ask the Holy Spirit, who was this? Who was this? And, you know, I'm in tune with God, but I don't know how in tune with God I am. Maybe you want to test me in that way, but don't. And write legibly. Say, oh, well, all right, let the Holy Spirit interpret this. Yeah. Write down your name and what God is stirring you to do, and we can help you. Maybe you want to do a home group. Man, I'd love to get 50 home groups with 5 of us each in a home group. That is where growth really happens. But I ask the worship team to come on now. Maybe the Spirit is just stirring you. Say, hey, I need to accept Jesus because I never did. In Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Maybe you're being stirred to pray that prayer of asking to Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. So I'm going to ask you, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you pray this prayer with me? It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you back there. You may put your hands on. Lord, you have seen the hands. They were stirred to accept you this morning. Lord, we pray for their growth. We pray that they would understand. And we pray for their walk with you. That they would not turn from the left or the right, but just to pursue a relationship with you. We thank you so much for this beautiful day. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
If you prayed that prayer, there's a yes booklet on the table. Just go grab it. And if you need to know more about your walk with Jesus, grab one of those books anyway. You need a Bible, we got some Bibles to give to you. We just want to make sure you understand your decision and your walk with Jesus. Wednesday night at our Bible study, 6:30, we're going to talk about baptism. And then Sunday also, we're going to talk about baptism. So if you're going to join us for baptism, hey, come and check us out on either of those days. We love to get you baptized and celebrate with you your decision. Amen? Would Amen. You stand and join us? And Brother Walt is going to lead us in some worship.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Scott. Whoo, what a stirring message being provoked. Thanks, pray and praise be to God to those who have, made the decision to follow Jesus. We just thank the Lord for your heart, Father God. We just praise you, Lord, and we just pray that you be with them and continue to stir them, Lord God, and help us to be bold and be strong, Lord God, as we leave here and we go forth into the world to be the light that you have created us to be.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.